Dalet Amud Aleph. We're holding six lines from the top of the page. We're at Vahai V'yatzachinam. So again, the Gemara, again, you can write in the Gemara to take notes, make sure you get it all down. The Vahai V'yatzachinam will be quizzed on this tomorrow. Vahai V'yatzachinam. We use V'yatzachinam to teach us that there's a din of Kiddushei Kesef, that you could be Mekadesh, a woman with money, and if she's a little girl, the money goes to her father. So says the Gemara, Vahai V'yatzachinam Lahachi Udasa? Question mark. Does the word V'yatzachinam, does the pasuk V'yatzachinam teach us this? Is this what it comes to teach me? Hami Bayle Lichidetanya. I already need V'yatzachinam to teach me what it teaches in Ebraisa, as we're about to see. Detanya, the Braisa teaches us, V'yatzachinam Elu Yimei Bagrus, Ein Kasef Elu Yimei Na'arus. V'yatzachinam teaches me that when a girl becomes a bogeres, meaning 12 and a half, she goes free. And then the words Ein Kasef teach me that when she turns 12, she goes free. So I already need V'yatzachinam Ein Kasef to tell me at what age a girl goes free. How could it therefore teach me about Kesef Kiddushin? It's already being used to tell me how old the girl is when she goes free. And how old is that? Well, it's 12 and a half and 12, which we're going to get to at the bottom of the page to figure out why you would need to say 12 and a half if she goes free at 12. But that's, so the Gemara's question right now is, how can you tell me V'yatzachinam Ein Kasef teaches me that there's Kesef Kiddushin? I already need V'yatzachinam Ein Kasef to teach me that a girl goes free at a certain age from being a maidservant. So Amar Ravina answers, Im Kain. If it were so, if the pasuk were only teaching me about the age that a girl goes free, lemakra un or ein or in kesef. Let the Torah say without a yud. Let the Torah say aleph nun kesef, and that would also mean there's no money. Why does it have my ein kesef? Why does it have to add the yud into that word? It must be that it's teaching me two things. That since there's an extra letter, that phrase can teach me two things. That ain kesef ladon zeh, aval yesh kesef ladon acher. That there's no kesef for this master, but there is kesef for another master, uman nihu, and who is the other master? Av, her father. Meaning, from the fact that the Torah at all says V'yatzachinam Ein Kasef, we learn the age at which a girl maidservant goes free. From the fact that there's an extra yud in the word Ein, we learn what? That the father gets Kesef Kiddushin. So that's the drasha. Now the obvious problem is, what is there a word Ein without a yud? I mean, the Gemara is assuming it's an extra letter yud. That the word Ein would have been perfectly fine without the letter Yud. Did you ever see the word Ein without the Yud? That we can say. So the Gemara says, Umimai didarshinon hachi. From where do we know that you can make such a drasha, that that's called an extra Yud? So the Gemara says, no, we do have such a thing. Detanya, we have a braisa that tells us. Vizera Ein La. The Torah tells us that if a girl is married to, a girl is a daughter of a Kohen, is married to a Yisrael, and does not, and then her husband dies, Vizera Ein La, and she doesn't have any children from him, then she can go back to eating her father's truma. Vizera Ein La, she doesn't have any children. Ein Li Ela Zara, I only know that if she doesn't have children, she can go back, that if she has children, she's no longer allowed to eat truma, and if she doesn't have children, she can go back to eat her father's truma. Zera Zara Minayin, how do I know that even grandchildren count? Tamud Lomar, that's why the pasuk says, Zera Ein La. The word Ein with the Yud teaches us Ayein La, that you could look a little deeper. Don't just look at her immediate family, even look a generation down. Look to see if she has grandchildren. And if there's even grandchildren, then it counts like she has children. She cannot go back to her father's truma. Vainly Ella Zera Kasher. And I would only know that if she has kosher children, it would be okay for her. She would be disqualified from going back to her father's truma. Zera pasul minayin. How do I know that if she has a child that's a mamzer, she also can't go back to eating her father's truma? Talmud Lomar, that's why the pasuk says, Zera ein la. Again, that extra yud teaches me, ayein la. That don't just look at a cursory glance to see if she has children. Look deeply, no matter what kind of child it is, whether it be a grandchild kind of child, whether it be a puzzle kind of child, any kind of child that she has will forever lock herself into that marriage, and she'll never be able to go back to her father's truma. Any kind of child. And what's the drasha from where? From the extra yud in the word ein. So you see from there that we darshan the extra word in the extra yud in the word ein. Now it would be really super helpful if we could find anywhere in the Torah where the word ein is spelled without the yud. Why would that be helpful?
Then we could see that
the yud is in fact extra. So says the Gemara, but before the Gemara gets to that, the Gemara just says, wait a second. We just took the extra word in the extra yud in the word vizara ein la, and we learned two different things from it. What did we learn from it? That if she has even
grandchildren,
or if she has even apostle child. How can you learn two things from the same yud? Va pikte lizara zara. Didn't we already learn it about the grandchild? So says the Gemara, zera zara loitzrichra. You don't really need a pasuk to teach me that a grandchild counts as a child. Why don't you need a pasuk to teach me a grandchild counts as a child? So you should know this. We did this concept. What's the concept? B'nei banim harayim kebanim, the Gemara says. You don't need a pasuk because b'nei banim harayim kebanim. Grandchildren are like children. So ki yisrich kra, you know why that yud is needed? Lizara pasuk. Just to teach me that even if she has a mamzer child that locks her into that marriage forever, she's never able to go back to her father's truma. Period. So now we've seen, what we've shown is that the extra yud in the word ein is to be darshaned, we can derive something from it. And what do we learn from ein kesef? We learn that there's such a thing as kesef kiddush. Says the Gemara, but v'tana gufei minale de darash hachi. Still, how did this Tana know that you're allowed to darshan the extra word in the word ein? Meaning the extra letter in the word ein. Yeah, you showed me, okay, we darshan already v'zera ein la, the extra yud, we darshan in ein la. Who told the Tana that you're allowed to do that? Where do we ever have the word ein without the extra yud in it? So Amri k'siv, it's two places. One place where the pasuk says me ein bilam, and Me'ein Bilam means Bilam refused to go with us. The messengers who were told to bring Bilam to curse the Jewish people, they come out and they say, Bilam refuses. So there's the word Ein without the Yud. And Ume'ein Yavmi, that's a pasuk about someone who doesn't want to do Yibum. And the Torah describes it also with an Ein without the Yud to describe someone who refuses to do Yibum. Delok Siv Bu Yud, it doesn't say Yud in those psukim. V'hacha Ksiv Be Yud. And yet over here in our pasuk, it does say yud. What's our pasuk? Ein kasev, yatschinim ein kasev. Or also, v'zera ein la. It says a yud, shema mina l'drashu das. Ah, so it must be that we're allowed to darshan the yud. So the main point over here, main point number one, the drasha of the father getting kiddushin money is from the extra yud in ein kasev. It's from the extra yud in Ein Kasef. And we have a similar drasha about a bas kohen eating truma. We have a similar drasha from an extra yud about a bas kohen eating her father's truma. So the extra yud teaches us that there's Ein Kasef teaches that the father gets Kasef Kiddushin. And we have a similar drasha by a bas kohen eating truma. That is part one of the daf. Now, so of the Amud. Says the Gemara, v'itzrich. Now going back to what we mentioned before, we've mentioned before that the father not only gets the girl's kiddushin money, any work that she does he also gets. The Torah tells me both of those things. Why does the Torah have to tell me that he gets her kiddushin money and that he gets whatever money she earns? Shouldn't I just, if he gets one, shouldn't he automatically get the other? Why do I need psukim to tell me both? So says the Gemara, parenthetically. The Torah has to tell me that the Kiddushin money goes to the father. And the Torah has to tell me that her work goes to her father. If the Torah would have only told me that the Kiddushin money goes to the father, I would say, yeah, that goes to the father because she didn't even work for it. That just, someone gave it to her. So why should she get it? But her work, her own handiwork, which she did what?
She worked for.
She worked for. I would have thought that she gets it. And if the Torah only would have told me that she gets her handiwork, I would say, well, it makes that the father gets her handiwork, I would say, yeah, that's because he's supporting her. He's giving her food. So he deserves to get whatever money she earns. He's giving her, he's sustaining her. Aval kidushel, but kidushin money. Dimei alma kasila, which comes from somewhere else, from another source. It comes from the world. It's not part of like an ongoing, you know, living that she's making. Ema didahavu, I would think that she gets to keep. Tzricha. That's why we need to be told both things. What do I mean, both things? We need to be told that the father gets
her work money,
and her kiddushin money. Exactly. So main point number two, the chiddush that the father gets the kiddushin money is that it comes from nowhere, and the chiddush that he gets her ma'isi yadayim is that she worked for it and still he gets it. You can say it the other way around. The chiddush that the father gets her ma'isi yadayim, her work, is that even though she worked for it, he gets it. And it's a great chiddush that he gets her kiddushin money, because it's something he wasn't relying on. It just came out of nowhere. It wasn't something that was a consistent livelihood that she's earning. That is topic number two. Now the rest of the Amud is topic number three. Topic number three is going back to what we said before, that there are we darshan the words v'yatza chinam in kasef to teach me two things. V'yatza chinam, when does Nami Ivriya go out? At what age does a Jewish maidservant go free? V'yatza chinam teaches me Elu Yimei Bagrus, when she's 12 and a half. Eim Kasev teaches me that Elu Yimei Na'arus, when she turns 12. And now the Gemara is going to ask the obvious question. Gufa. We just said before, whenever you have the word Gufa, it means we're returning to a previous discussion that we had. So where was the previous discussion? The previous discussion was seven lines into the page. So Gufa, going back to what we said 7 lines into this page. V'yatza chinam elu yimei bagrus, ein kasef elu yimei na'arus. Where we said that the phrase v'yatza chinam teaches me that a 12 and a half year old girl goes free, ein kasef teaches me that a 12 year old girl goes free. V'licht of rachmana na'arus v'lo bayi bagrus. Let it just tell me a 12 year old girl goes free, and then I don't need to know that a 12 and a half year old girl goes free. Why don't I need to know it? She's already free. Gemara's going to have three answers, so you may want to number them. Answer number one. Amar Rabba. Rabba says, Bazeh v'limed alzeh. Had I not had two phrases in the pasuk, I would have thought that only a 12 and a half year old girl goes free. Meaning it's only because I already have a phrase to tell me that a 12 and a half year old girl goes free, that I could then use another phrase to tell me that a 12-year-old girl goes free. What do you want? You want the pasuk to just tell me one phrase? Then what would I assume? That when does she go free? If I only had one phrase, I would assume 12 and a half. I never would have known to apply it to a 12-year-old girl. Sometimes there are two things that the pasuk has to teach me. It's true, once you know both of them, the first one is obvious. Once you know the second one, the first one is obvious. But the only way to get to the second one is by going through the first one. Bazeh, this one comes from Limer Alzeh and reflects on the other one, teaches about the other one. Where do you have such a thing? Mida dahava atosha v'sachir. Just like we have such a thing by an Eved Ivri, by the two types of Eved Ivri, the Toshav, the one who stays forever, and the Sachir, the one who's just there for 6 years. Titania, we have a brisa that says as follows. Toshav zeh kanoi kinyan olam. A Toshav is someone who's staying forever. Sachir zeh kanoi kinyan shanim. A Sachir, that's someone who's only there for 6 years. Yomar Toshav v'lo Yomar Sachir. So why does it? What the pasuk tells me is that a Toshav and a Sachir that are owned by a Kohen, an Eved Ivri that's owned by a Kohen, does not get to eat truma, which is a very great chiddush, because even a non-Jewish slave who's owned by a Kohen does get to eat truma, but a Jewish slave owned by a Kohen does not get to eat truma. So says the Gemara, Yomar Toshav v'lo Yomar Sachir. Just tell me that even the Eved Ivri who's there forever is not allowed to eat truma, and you don't have to tell me then that an Eved Ivri is just there for 6 years will not be allowed to eat truma. It will be obvious. Vaniomer, and I'll say it on my own. Kano kinyan olam eino ochel. If a guy who's there forever cannot eat his master's truma, kano kinyan shanim lakoshkein. A guy who's only there for 6 years, all the more so, should not be allowed to do what? To eat the master's truma. So why does it have to say both? So the Brisa says, because ilu kain, if it only would have said one of them, Hayis Yomer, I would have thought Toshav Zekonikin Yanshanim. I would have thought Toshav means a guy who's only there for 6 years. How do I know that Toshav means a guy who's there forever? Because the Pasuk already says Sachir. Avalkani can you know the mochel? I would think a guy who's there forever would be allowed to eat. Bas Sachir v'limed al Toshav. So that's why the Sachir comes. The fact that you have the word Sachir teaches me what Toshav really means. That even if a person is there forever, he's not going to be allowed to eat truma. So you see a very similar idea, that sometimes the Torah has to tell me two things, even though once you tell me the second thing, the first thing becomes what? Becomes obvious. It still has to tell me both things, because the only way you get to that conclusion is by telling me both things. So Amalei Abaye, Abaye says, no, I don't like that at all. Midam, you can't, how can you compare these two? How can you compare the story of the Eved Ivri and the story of the girl going free? Hasam Trey Gufin in him. There are two types of Eved Ivri, and these are two different guys. One guy is the guy who's there for only 6 years. One guy is the guy who's there forever. But by the girl who goes free, every single time she's going to turn 12 before she turns 12 and a half. So you're not talking about two different girls going free at 12 and going free at 12 and a half. No, every single time she's going to go free when?
Wow.
At the age of 12. And it's the same person. It's not like another person that goes free at 12 and a half. There is no such person. Everyone goes free at 12. So it's very different than the Toshav and Sachar. By Toshav and Sachar, it's true. Once you tell me that a guy who's there forever is not allowed to eat truma, it's obvious that a guy who's only there for 6 years is not allowed to eat truma. But still, at least they're different people. A guy who's there forever is not the same guy as the guy who's there for only 6 years. So Hasam Trey Gufi Ninu, at least by the Eved, they're two different bodies. Dechinami Kosav Rachmana Toshav Nirtza Lo Yochal, that even if the Torah says that a guy who got his ear pierced is not allowed to eat truma, Vahadar Kosav Idach, and then the Torah says something else about the guy who's there for only 6 years, have a sachir milsa da asya b'kal v'chomer. You're right, I would have figured out the guy who's there for 6 years is not allowed to eat truma from a kal v'chomer. But that's okay, because milsa da asya b'kal v'chomer, Torah v'kasav lakra. Sometimes, something that you could derive from a kal v'chomer, the Torah will say it anyway. Elahacha, but over here, what does over here mean?
By the 12 and a half.
Good, by the Yom Ivriya, the 12 and a half year old. Chagufahi, it's one person. Ki nafkala binarus, bagrus my bayagadeh. If she already went free at the age of 12, what's happening at 12 and a half? Why would you even talk about 12 and a half? 12 and a half doesn't mean anything. So answer number one is rejected. Answer number two, why does it have to say that a girl goes free at 12 and a half if it already says that she goes free at 12? Because not every time a girl turns 12 does she become a nara. A girl only becomes a nara if she gets two hairs. But there's the possibility of a girl being like that Hasidic singer you're talking about, where she never ever matures. So that's why I need to be told that when a girl becomes a bogeres, a full adult, she goes free. Because not every girl goes through that stage called na'ara. Ella Amar Abaye, rather Abaye says, Lo nitzrucha ella lebegar da'ailunis. It's coming to teach me about a girl who becomes an adult as an ailunis. Salka da'itachamina bin na'arus tepuk bibagrus lo tepuk. I might have thought that she goes free when she's a Nara, not when she's a Bogeres. So Kamash Milan, therefore it tells me, if she becomes a Bogeres straight after being a Katana, she gets to go free. So the Gemara doesn't like this answer either. Maskev Lamar Baravashi, Mar Baravashi asks, Belav Kal V'chomeru? But isn't that a Kal V'chomer? Umasi Manim She'in Motzir Mirshus Av, Motzir Mirshus Adam. If physical maturity does not take a girl out of her father's jurisdiction, and yet it does take her out of her master's jurisdiction, Bagrus, becoming an adult, Shemotziya Mirshosav, which does take her out of the father's jurisdiction, Eino Din Shemotziya Mirshosadon, will all the more so take her out of the master's domain. So, therefore, I don't need it to tell me. I never would have had a Havamina that when a girl becomes an islandist that she doesn't go free. It's still obvious that she goes free, because she even gets free of her father when she becomes a Bogaris, when she becomes 20 years old, when an islandist becomes 20 years old and she becomes an adult. So of course she goes free from a master when she becomes 20 years old. So Ella says Gemara, a third possibility. Ella Amar Baravashi, Lo Nitzrucha Elil Ikers Vina Da Islandist. No, you know what the Pasuk is teaching me? It's just telling me that an islandist can get sold in the first place. That when you sell a little girl, even if she turns out to be an islandist, the sale is binding. Salka Daita Chamina. Know that abbreviation. I might have thought, Ta'asya Simani Narus, Havizvina, that only if she ultimately physically matures is the sale at all binding. But if she never physically matures, lo avizvina zvina, then the sale would not be binding. That's why the pasuk says viatzochinam, to tell me that the sale is still binding. Let's just go a couple more lines to the two dots. Ulumar baravashi da amar velav kalvachomer hu haamrin milsadasi bekalvachomer tarach bekasav lakra. The Gemara says, wait a second. Why did we reject answer number two? We rejected answer number two because we said, we could learn it from a kal v'chomer. What do you mean? Don't we have a rule that even things that you can learn from a kal v'chomer, sometimes the Torah will say it anyway? So Gemara says a very important rule. Hani mili hecha delek l'shnuye. The Torah will say, we use that rule only when there's no other answer. Aval hecha de'ik l'shnuye mishanina. But when there's another answer to give, we'll give the other answer. So we only use the rule that with the Torah will say something that we could have learned from a Kal V'chomer when that's the only option. But if there's another option, we'll go with that other option. So last main point, three explanations why the Torah has to tell us that an Ami Ivriya goes free as a Bogeres if it already taught us that she goes free as a Na'ara. So again, three explanations. The Gemara has three explanations why the Torah has to tell us that an Ami Ivriya goes free as a Bogeres if it already taught us that she goes free as a Na'ara.